Today's show brought to you by Ballpark Buns. If you're not out grilling, someone is out grilling you. That's why you need Ballpark Buns in your lineup. It's like having a number one draft pick at every backyard barbecue, whether you're playing at home or away. After all, Ballpark hot dog and hamburger buns rank as America's favorite buns, delivering fresh taste and outstanding flavor with every bite. And with four varieties to choose from, it's easy to make everyone on your team happy. Find them in a store near you at ballparkbuns.com. Want to take things to the next level? Enter Ballpark Buns Home Run Sweepstakes for a chance to win a prize pack that really brings the heat. Three grand prize winners will score $2,500, a high-end cooler, a year's supply of Ballpark Buns, plus more. It's a real dinger of a sweepstakes, so don't get caught napping. Enter today at ballparkbuns.com/homerun. That's ballparkbuns.com/homerun. And it really is hot in there, right, AJ?
Yes. Yes, it's hot in here.
AJ is actually doing the podcast in a mascot outfit.
In his Mr. Med outfit. Yeah. Is that what he's doing? Yeah.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Thursday morning, July 26, 2018. Some rain in the forecast for some places around the country, but hopefully baseball will be played. I am Eric. He is colleague AJ Mass, and we have with us today editorial watchdog Leo Howell, producer Anthony Calatayud, and in absentia, our pal and researcher Kyle Soppe. AJ, the rain has been playing with some schedules. I was watching the Red Sox-Orioles game on Wednesday on ESPN, and I've got a league with Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez, and they each hit like 700-foot home runs off Dylan Bundy, and I'm like, ah, this is going to be a good week. Then it started to rain, and now I don't have any home runs. Not happy.
Yeah. Are we going to have to start this podcast over and none of our comments count? It's crazy that they even started the game knowing what the forecast was. And, you know, that's the ridiculous part of it all, is that the game never should have been played in the first place, given the weather forecast. But, you know, this is the reality of it. It doesn't happen too often, but occasionally you're going to get these guys who do well. And the worst part is that, you know, you lose the starting pitcher. Who, you know, once they start the game, they're probably not going to pitch for another couple of days. And, you know, if it's Dylan Bundy, you know, that's fine. But it's just really a pain. It's a pain. It really reconfigures an entire team's rotation when they do that. I don't know why.
Yeah, that game probably shouldn't have been started. I don't know why it was. Lots of injuries and some trades to get to on today's show. A little bit later on, I'll read the hash browns. Here is the buzz. Well, we had some breaking news this Thursday morning coming out of Washington, D.C., and it really shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, but Steven Strasburg, who did not look right when he came off the DL for last Friday's outing, is not going to make his outing today. He's back on the disabled list, and Nationals reporters are calling this undisclosed reasons. I think it's pretty clearly the shoulder. I mean, it could be something else, another injury, knowing him, but let's take a big-picture approach here, A.J., what do you do with Strasburg now? You're up against like a trade deadline in your fantasy league. Can we even assume he makes 10 starts the rest of the season?
Yeah, I've been hearing pinched nerve is what's been coming out now. Nothing's official, of course. And if it's pinched nerve, then maybe I could see 8 starts the rest of the way. If it has anything to do with the shoulder, however, then, you know, shut him down. So I'll take them at their word that perhaps there's a little more optimism than I was thinking when the news first broke.
And you know what's interesting? Yeah, I agree with that. I see it now, and I didn't see it 5 minutes ago. But the Nationals are still under 500. And knowing how they treated him when they were in first place and going to win their division a couple years ago and shutting him down, I wonder if he's treated differently than a normal pitcher. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you've got a team like the Dodgers, they're not going to shut down Rich Hill. They need him to get to the playoffs to win the World Series. Nationals are 7 games. Nationals are actually just as far out of first as they are from last place in the NL East. And it's still July. I'm not saying the Nationals can't make it all up. They can. But do you think Strasburg gets treated a little bit differently here in September if he's hurting at all? It was a shoulder last week. It's a pinched nerve today. Last year it was something different in his back, I think. You never can tell with this guy. He has averaged 28 starts a year over the last 6, so he's not exactly, you know, Rich Harden, but still, he's a little bit of a problem. And we ranked him. He was the number five starter for the season in ADP. He was right after the top tier four. He won't be in the top 10 next year, will he?
No, I don't think he can do it. I mean, you know, at some point we got to be good of the fact that he always gets hurt. And whether it's, you know, I know that sometimes it's not necessarily connected issues, that every incident can be taken on its own. But I think, yeah, you really can't rely on him for a full season anymore. Not that we ever really did, you know, once the injuries started mounting up. I would say that because Washington is like one of seven teams fighting for that that last wild card spot, the record isn't so much the consideration. It's the games back of that wild card. So right now they're 5.5. If, you know, he needs 2 weeks and they're still at 5.5, I don't know, they bring him back right away. If they're at 2, they bring him back. So I think it really just depends where they are. But yeah, they're gonna kid glove him more than they would, because they've done that in the past, like you said, when they were winning.
Ah, man, what an interesting situation! Like, they have basically the same record as the Angels. The Angels don't have the same pressure to buy and contend as the Nationals do. They can lose Bryce Harper. It's a team that's come close in the past. I mean, you know, Mike Trout's never actually won a playoff game. Man, this is a weird situation. They should go all out, and I assume they're going to trade for a starting pitcher. Maybe they're getting Jay Happ or Cole Hamels. Man, really weird. If you've got Strasburg in a fantasy league, don't drop him. He could be back in a week. But, man, I just cannot go top 10 for him again next year. And I won't do it for Syndergaard either, and I'm going to have doubts about Kershaw. And it's not like they're missing half the season. They're all at, like, 14 and 13 starts right now, but there's too many other guys that can count on for 30 starts. That's why we would move.
Yeah,
them.
And on top of that, you don't know when those starts are going to be. You know, at least if a guy undergoes like some sort of off-season surgery and is going to miss the first month, you can plan for that and assess. This is the mystery drop-off, and you don't know where you're going to be at that time and what's going to be on the waiver wire when the guy does go down.
Tampa Bay sends Blake Snell to the disabled list with left shoulder fatigue. At least we know exactly what that is, and maybe it was because he pitched in the All-Star game a little too much. It was odd how many pitches he threw in that game. The Rays are claiming this is no big deal. Then yesterday they dealt away two more pitchers. They're obviously not trying to make a run at the wild card here, which is fine. They know what they are. But let's include Leo, the Rays fan here. Do you think Blake Snell pitches in the next 10 days, or is there a possibility he just gets shut down at some point soon?
I wouldn't necessarily expect a shutdown. I think that might be, you know, I don't think he's necessarily a guy that still you're worried too much about innings counts and pitch counts and things like that. Like, you know, what he was at 129 and then 119 this year. So, you know, maybe they're trying to not get him to up close to 200-ish, but he was never going to get there anyway. He went 130 last year. You could expect him to get to, you know, 140, 150, which means he's still got a handful of starts left. So at this point, what, we're like 8-9 weeks out of the season. I would expect you'd see him back, especially because, like you said, they're trading away pitchers. And sure, like, they've got, you know, with the way that they're using things, they'll just throw guys in the bullpen and mix and match and get through games as best they can. But, you know, at some point, if you had real doubts about him, you wouldn't just be giving away all of your pitching, because at some point, you know, you do still need to not put a ton of stress on guys like, you know, Yarbrough and guys like that, who would then just wind up having to pitch too many innings, and you want to keep guys like that for your future too. So I wouldn't be concerned about him getting shut down, because I think that this break will give him enough sort of leverage against whatever innings cap he might have come up against that he'll probably just see out the season, unless, and shoulders are always like this, he comes back and his shoulder barks, and then you probably shut him down.
So, AJ, let me
ask
you.
Kevin Cash is like Oprah, you know, like, you get 100 innings, and you get 100 innings, and you get 100 innings. Everyone on that staff is going to pitch 100 innings.
So you get offered a trade, AJ. You're trading away a hitter, an outfielder, and the other team has Blake Snell and Steven Strasburg, and you want to win right now, this season. Who are you most likely to take?
Snell, because I buy into Snell and what he's doing. I don't think, like I was saying, you know, on Monday, like, I didn't think there was going to be a lot of regression, though there was going to be some. And, you know, I'm not as concerned given the timing of this. You know, it's the All-Star game. He didn't get the rest that everybody else got. I'm willing to bank on him coming back more so than Strasburg, just because of the history there.
Gary Sanchez back on the disabled list the day after I activated him in my weekly league. Really happy about that. Not that, you know, whatever catcher I would have picked up would have gone nuts this week. I'm getting trounced in that league. It's like 9-1. It's just nobody's hitting. I have Sanchez active. I have Chris Bryant active. Jesus Aguilar's active. Nothing's going right. The Yankees say that Sanchez is going to be out for another month, late August, early September. Can you make the case to just drop him now in an ESPN redraft standard league?
Given catcher, I mean, if you only have to start one catcher, then yeah, because you could probably use the roster spot, on somebody who's can fill in on a daily basis, you have daily transactions. Because it's of a one catcher thing, I think, yeah, there's no real need to keep on with a guy who you don't know exactly when he's going to come back. And if you're missing the month, you might be better served with somebody else in that spot.
Yeah, I can't make any case in an ESPN standard league with three bench spots and one DL to actually keep Sanchez around. I thought it was going to be a short-term injury. This is not. And, you know, by the way, when he comes back, say he comes back the first week of September, all right, if you're in your head-to-head playoffs, it might not matter. The fact is the Yankees, I'm not saying this is going to be the same situation in 6 weeks, but they're 5.5 games behind Boston. If that's still the case on September 5th, and they're like 5 games ahead of the second wild card, why use Sanchez much at all? Just get him ready for the wild card game in the playoffs. I'm dropping him now. I didn't think I was going to be doing that, but I would, yes.
And on top of that, the rosters will have expanded to that 40, and so there's no reason that they wouldn't keep three catchers at that point, which even gives less odds that he's going to be in there.
Nate Eovaldi is a member of the Red Sox now. Zach Britton is on the Yankees. That bullpen's ridiculous. Zach Britton, I think you can drop in all leagues. Basically at this point, he's not going to get any saves there. He's like fourth in line for saves. Interest in Eovaldi, obviously he'll get more run support now. The interest is kind of tepid. He's still available in 60% of ESPN standard leagues. I feel like that should be higher. Well, he should be rostered in more leagues, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I have him as my number 50 before the trade going forward. I haven't really re-ranked yet. At this point, I'm just going to wait till the trade deadline, because what's the point of ranking and then re-ranking as people just are going to be juggling all over the place? Yeah, the run support helps. So in terms of win total, I think that will definitely be a boon for him. But he's still a matchups guy, borderline keep in no matter who the opponent is. Like I said, he's a number 5 starter for me. So I can see if you have someone who's otherwise in that area on the rankings that you might not want to make the move for him.
He has the number 5 whip among starting pitchers since he made a season debut 10 starts ago. So he's pitched well, getting strikeouts. Be interesting to see what he does. I think he's facing Minnesota this weekend.
Limiting walks a lot more than he used to, too. Like his walk rate, which was never super high, has halved this year. So definitely something changed. That is the big question.
Yeah, that's my concern, too.
Yep. But depending on what kind of league you're in, you know, if you can get a few starts out of him, it might be the difference.
I'm starting to get to the point now with injured players where I feel like lost season. I don't know how to define that. I was thinking of blogging about that at some point. But, you know, what would the headline be? Like, I don't know how to, like, define a lost season. Justin Turner's having a lost season, okay? He's back on the DL with another injury. Even when he comes back, I don't think he's hitting for power because he had the wrist injury. Chris Bryant has a shoulder injury. I think he's going to be back on the DL maybe before the next show. It might be a lost season. Now, his lost season is better than most lost seasons. It's not like that Mike Lowell season where he just hit, like, 220. But, I mean, lost season, Gary Sanchez, lost season. Like, what can you do? You can't really drop them if they're going to be back soon, but they're just not going to put up the same. Daniel Murphy, lost season. You see what I'm trying to say there, AJ? It's like Chris Bryant, you obviously can't drop him, and you're not trading him away for Nate Eovaldi, but he's probably going back on the DL, and if he doesn't, he's probably not hitting many home runs the rest of the season.
Yeah, you kind of wish for some clarity, like if you were, you know, we were talking on Monday about Yoenis Cespedes, and like, all right, now we know. Done. You can make the move and not sweat it anymore. You kind of wish that, not that you ever wish injury on anybody, but if someone's just going to have this nagging injury that's going to affect them every 2 weeks and they're going back on, you know, day-to-day status even, you know, not even the DL, I think you'd just rather have that certainty at this point. And so I'm with you on that, although the best thing to do with a guy like Chris Bryant is pick up like David Vogt from the waiver wire and you know, maybe he'll call him up and take the spot just to have somebody there to throw in if the move needs to be made.
And I don't buy low here anymore. Someone's offering Chris Bryant, I'm not giving them a top 50 player in return. I can't do it. I don't see this ending well this season. Next year, sure.
It's different. It's different if you got one of these keeper leagues. You know, certainly you have to just assume that all will be well after a full off season. at least at this stage, until you hear otherwise.
Well, except for like a guy like Cespedes, who could be out for a year from now. Like that's the,
oh yeah, yeah.
That's
we're talking about the lost season guys.
Oh,
not
for
the,
sure. Yeah,
not
I just career.
Head case lost career.
I mean, well, AJ, do we even rank Cespedes as a top 50 outfielder for next year's drafts? I don't think I do.
No. I mean, at this point, just speculating. No, I don't think you can. I think you not only do you got to assume that he doesn't come back at full strength, that he might not last the full season when he does, you know, from the point he comes back.
Even like next year's Irvin Santana, who makes his season debut on July 25th? I could see Cespedes making his season debut next year sometime in July, but the difference between Santana is generally healthy and wants to play. Cespedes is not the same. It's just, I can't even see like spending a late round pick next year on Cespedes. I don't want to deal with it.
Well, I mean, he'll want to play if the Mets are 5 games over 500 when he's ready to come back versus nice. 15 under.
That's lovely.
I hate to factor that in, but I've seen it.
All right, let's see some sound here. It's the combo meals.
Hey, it's a combo meal.
We got two of them since our last show, and each player is readily available in ESPN leagues. They weren't maybe on opening day. Albert Pujols did it last night. The stolen base came at the end of a double steal with Luis Valbuena, who is also really quick himself. And then Pujols got doubled off on a line drive, and Pujols is not going to suddenly start stealing bases. But he did hit a ball 430 feet, although it was off James Shields. Does that really count? It's almost like hitting it off of like a shortstop who's coming in the ninth inning. It's like James Shields is like Ryan Rua or Kike Hernandez now at this point. Everybody's hitting home runs. They all count the same.
Or the great third baseman, Sergio Romo.
I love that. I do.
Oh, absolutely.
He wasn't going to hit a ball. I don't remember who was up, but it was a lefty pull hitter. He was not hitting a ball to third base. Good for Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay would be like 20 games under 500 if they weren't messing around with all this opener stuff and the things that they're doing. I applaud them. They're making baseball interesting to me, not ruining it, but I'm, you know.
Fun
anyway,
little fact real quick about Pujols and Valbuena, both in the bottom 25 on StatCast's sprint speed leaderboard. So they are two of the 25 slowest players in baseball out of 469 total, or 489 total.
I could beat Pujols in a race. Anyway, Pujols is the number 21st baseman for the season on the Player Radar, ahead of guys like Mitch Moreland and Justin Smoke and Eric Hosmer. So he has some value, end up at 25 homers, 90 RBI, kind of like he does all the time. Dexter Fowler is, they weren't former teammates. Dexter Fowler had one on Tuesday. He's playing every day, and he's playing a little bit better. Which of these guys would you rather roster for the final 2 months, if at all?
It's close, but probably Fowler, just like a little more upside in terms of the multiple category thing. Albert is Albert, and certainly, like you said, he's kind of reliable for the stats he's going to give you, but just because of the position he plays as well, I barely have him in my top 40 at first base. It's just an age thing, and he's got to get days off here and there.
Nothing's
more so
really
than
changed,
usual.
Essentially, over the past couple of weeks with either of these guys in how we view them for fantasy. That's the point, I guess.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
All right, more sound. It's the closer carousel.
The closer carousel.
Now, I personally think that Brad Hand got the save on Wednesday because the lead went from 2-0 to 4-0. And that's why Terry Francona did not summon Cody Allen, which is absolutely ridiculous that a manager, and a good one, a top five manager, is actually managing to the save rule. I don't know if he was, per se. He might have just been thinking, oh, now the lead's big enough, we'll leave Hand in. How many pitches can he possibly throw? But I still think Cody Allen is Cleveland's closer, unless he messes up the next time, or they call for the wrong pitcher, which has happened before. This save rule, I just can't believe that managers still manage to it. Like, they actually make decisions based on the fact that it's 3-0 as opposed to 4-0. They still do that. That's unbelievably dumb. But
well, of course it is. I mean, but the whole concept of what these managers are doing now, where, it's seventh inning I call this guy, eighth inning I call this guy, ninth inning I call this guy, and there's no way, even though he struck out the side on nine pitches, he's coming out. Like, I managers just don't know how to work their bullpens. They get in these roles and these ruts, and it's not surprising.
Gabe Kapler knows how to manage a bullpen. He's done a good job with the bullpen. He actually has. Sir Anthony Dominguez doing a nice job, although he's been walking people lately. I'm a little bit concerned. Other situations here, obviously the trade deadline is going to affect some closing situations. I wrote about it the other day. A number of teams that are bad could be moving their closers, just like Baltimore did with Zach Britton. I don't know why Brad Brock's getting the save chance. He's had a terrible season, but I just don't know if Buck Showalter cares. Michael Givens probably should be getting them, but you know Brock could be traded too. Rocky's
I think that's
up,
why. It's a showcase situation there. I think they're just, you know, let's keep him in there, keep him working so people can – scouts are at the game tonight. Let's you know, throw him out there.
What do you do? Say you're in a deep league here and you see that there are any number of setup men on bad teams available. Leclerc of Texas, you know, Tampa Bay could be anybody there. It could be Johnny Venters. They could trade Sergio Romo. Look at Kansas City. They're next in line. Detroit could trade Shane Green and give All-Star Joe Jimenez the job. The White Sox could trade Joaquin Soria and give the job to Genmar Gomez. Do you even look at these guys, or do you wait until the trade and then everybody knows?
Yeah, I think you just kind of have to listen to the tea leaves a little bit and what's going on. Like I said, you know, a guy like Brack has been mentioned as potentially being moved. Guy like Fairclough. You know, people like that, where you just you hear what's going on there, and you better to make the move a few days before the deadline and have nothing come of it, where you can then just cut the guy. Then, like you said, be in this competition where everyone's bidding on the guy as soon as the news breaks.
Who gets the next Mets save?
You know, it's Gesellman. I mean,
it wasn't yesterday. He pitched the seventh inning yesterday, and Swarzak pitched the eighth and the ninth. I can't explain.
Yeah,
his team at all.
I understand that. It's Gesellman. It's his job. It basically. I mean, Galloway is going to just move on his whims. He's a very unorthodox manager. I still think that he's the guy who's going to get the most saves going on. He may not get the next one because of workload. You know, he pitched. So once you pitch, you never know what he's going to do. But I would say if the Mets get 15 saves the rest of the way, he gets 10 of them.
All right, that's fair. I concur with that. I just don't understand what happened yesterday. I don't understand a lot of what's happening out of Mets camp.
I was watching the game, and I don't understand what happened yesterday, to be honest.
Let's take a look at the schedule here. There is a day game today. Tyler Chatwood pitching during the day. If you want to see a pitcher who has absolutely no idea where the baseball is going when he throws it, watch Arizona at Wrigley Field today against the Cubs. Because Tyler Chatwood, God bless him, he does not know where the baseball is going. I hope he doesn't hit anybody in the head. I don't even say that in jest. I'm not joking. Like, he just did not know where the baseball is going. I think he won his last outing despite walking six over five innings, whatever it was. Zach Golley hasn't exactly been, who's the guy? Carlos Silva without the walks himself this season. Golley's still a guy you want in fantasy. Tyler Chatwood is not. Ranger Suarez makes his debut for the Phillies at Cincinnati on ESPN Plus. You can watch Ranger Suarez. Have you ever seen a baseball player with the name Ranger? But today you can on ESPN Plus. Ada, you're going to be watching Ranger Suarez, right?
Yeah, it's too bad they're not playing the Rangers. That would have been exciting. Now, so not only is it going to be disappointing if he doesn't pitch at least six no-hit innings, because that's what people making their first start seem to do, at least if they're facing the Reds, right? So,
yeah, same team.
I would expect that. But, you know, you're the Phillies fan. When was hasn't it been like 17 years, 23 years since they pitched a lefty to start a game?
It's been two years. Adam Morgan in September of 2016. Thank you for watching, but yes, 2 years. It's the same as 17.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that matters. I mean, they just didn't care the last couple of years. Adam Morgan was a terrible starting pitcher. Anyway, I personally would not activate Ranger Suarez for today's outing if I were you in fantasy. I have no idea what he's going to do. He could go two innings, go up six runs. Like the Zach Eflin debut.
I would against the Reds. Just based on how they performed against the last two guys they'd never seen as a starter, I would.
And he seems like he's never had a very high ERA at any level. Like, I mean, I know that only means so much because he's never faced major league bats, but I think it's worth a flyer if you're in a, you know, the right spot for streaming a guy like that.
Lots of lefties on the mound today in addition to Mr. Ranger Suarez. Rich Hill, who was going to close out the game a couple days ago for the Dodgers if they took the lead. They didn't, so they went to infielder Kike Hernandez. I do not understand what Dave Roberts was doing there. I will use my starting pitcher if I have a lead. Again, save rule. but I'll just lose the game if we don't have the lead. That's what he did. Rich Hill's on the mound against a very interesting Anibal Sanchez, by the way, who doesn't throw left-handed, but has been pretty good this year. I'm kind of buying. Tommy Malone, who's terrible, replaces Strasburg at Miami. That could be a 10-9 game. Wade Miley on the mound for Milwaukee, now that they lost Brent Suter, facing Ivan Rodriguez's son. Any of these pitchers mean anything to you?
Not really. It's a very light day, and, you know, Stephen Matz is probably the one on there who's probably the best option that I would take a chance on, both given the opponents and how well he's, you know, he's been pitching fairly well. He has his, if he goes bad, he goes really bad, but, you know, I would say as for the whole Dave Roberts thing, I actually just think that's the case of losing the battle to win the war. I mean, it's like, why belabor this and have your starter have to go 3-4 innings potentially there at that point? It just if he blows it, it's fine. If he gets the side out, then you've cheated death, as it were. But it's one game as opposed to screwing up your rotation for the rest of the season. I can see it.
Nick Kingham's been good at home in this past few starts, so I would definitely say that that's probably a double-sided pitching matchup there as well.
I'd start almost anybody against the Mets these days, wouldn't you? Like, who's going to beat them?
It's a fierce lineup. Are you kidding?
Oh, come
Ty
on.
Kelly? Woo!
I mean, Brandon Nimmo, until he got his hand broken by... His hand is probably broken right now, and he's playing through it. I actually believe that.
You know, that's what happens when you get hit 57 times. He's like the Don Baylor of 2018.
We didn't discuss Tim Tebow. We could do a whole show on that. He would have been in the majors right now.
Yes. Simply because, again, you talk about pitching to the Sabre, how pitching to the attendance count.
Friday, you can watch Carlos Carrasco on ESPN+ against an actually pretty decent Mike Fiers. I mean, I'm not even joking. Mike Fiers has been pretty good for the Tigers. He's facing the Indians. I don't know if they're going to score 10 runs or one. They've been kind of a weird offense of late. But Carrasco's really good. Mike Fiers, you know, you could probably do worse as pickups go. Chris Archer on the mound for Tampa at Baltimore. Maybe his last start before a trade. I'm a little tired. Honestly, I'm kind of looking forward to the Tuesday. Because I don't care where J-Hap goes unless it's my team. But just do it already. Just get the trade deadline over with already. And all these guys posting on Twitter, rumor has this and sources say this. This is close to being done. Nothing's close to being done. It's either done or it's not done. That's it. Right?
Yeah, it's a little bit pregnant, right? These deals are either going to be consummated or they're not.
J-Hap's either a Brewer or he's a Blue Jay. He's not close to being something else, but whatever.
Oh, man. Who isn't almost a Brewer at this point?
I'm not almost a Brewer. Saturday afternoon at the stadium, Luis Severino coming off a pretty bad outing, by the way. He got hit pretty hard. I am not the least bit worried about Severino or Corey Kluber or other aces who got lit this week. Severino is pitching against Heath Fillmyer. He's a Royal, by the way. You might not know what team Heath Fillmyer pitches for. He pitches for the Royals. You can watch him on ESPN Plus on Saturday. You do not want Heath Fillmyer, I don't think, on your fantasy team active for that outing, even though the Yankees have stopped hitting home runs since the All-Star break. I think it's because of the home run derby, frankly, because even though they only had, like, do they have anybody in the home run derby? You can just blame it all.
Only Bregman in the American League.
Right. So the Yankees didn't have anybody actually in the home run derby, but people are blaming the home run derby for the Yankees not hitting home runs since the break, which I think is just fantastic. Matt Harvey pitches Saturday. You don't want Matt Harvey in real life or fantasy. I'm sorry.
He's going up against?
Vince Velasquez, who won that game on Tuesday for the Phillies. See, that didn't screw up their rotation. He pitched one inning. He's fine. Felix Hernandez, no. Don't want him. Tyson Ross, don't want him. Gio Gonzalez, I've decided I no longer want. No interest in using Gio Gonzalez. He's pitching Saturday at Miami, and I still don't want him. Is that right or wrong, AJ?
I think it's a good matchup for him, but I understand what you're saying there. I mean, he's the type of guy who's, you know, it's that 4.2 ERA kind of mark where you're just always concerned that his line for the day is going to be above 4.2.
It's the whip.
It could be a 7-inch shutout innings, but 4.2.
That whip is a problem. It continues to be. It's way too high. I want no part of Gio Gonzalez. Whatever magic he had last season, the magic's gone. 1.48 whip tells me a lot more than a 3.94 ERA. Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. Oh, it's Kyle Hendricks, who I'm not too pleased with either lately, at St. Louis, and John Gant. How about that one? Hopefully the rain will hold off. Seattle on ESPN Plus goes with Marco Gonzalez against Felix Pena, who I just don't know. Marco Gonzalez pitching pretty well, you know. He's getting through six innings. He's winning games because they win every game. although they could lose the wild card. Marco Gonzalez versus Kyle Hendricks rest of the season. I think you're going to say Hendricks, but should you?
Yeah, you know, Marco Gonzalez is still a matchup play for me. I got him like in my 80s in terms of where I have him ranked for the rest of the season. So, yeah, I think definitely that I would pick Hendricks, but I can see where you're coming from. If the matchup is right, I think he's far better than Hendricks. I just think Hendricks is going to get much more value the rest of the way.
Ah, it's hash brown time. Take a deep breath. It's kind of like halftime. You know, without like somebody singing a song.
Wow, cut me off before I start.
No, go ahead. Play the twist and roll and sing a song. What do you got today?
Head into Milwaukee. Someone's head into Milwaukee. Who is it? Who is it? I don't know.
All right, don't quit your day job. We have questions. We have answers. Seth writes, Josh Donaldson is still widely rostered at 83%, and we aren't sure of a timetable on his return. He's hitting just .234 this season, more strikeouts than hits. Would you co-sign on me dropping him? Lost season, AJ. Lost season for Josh Donaldson. Look, I know I said a month ago Jonathan Scope was having a lost season, and clearly he's not. He's now one of the best hitters. I just don't see that happening with a lot of these guys, Bryant and Donaldson and Turner. Yes, if you want to cut Josh Donaldson, you have my okay.
I agree with you. I mean, I'd much rather have at this point as Drupal Cabrera with the chance of being traded, you know, Ryan Neely, Michael Franco. These are all guys who I would probably rather have and take the chance on the upside there than relying on Donaldson to come back and come back in fine form.
By the way, this will be a topic of a future show and probably, Leo, a future blog. But when Robinson Cano returns from his suspension, the Mariners say that they're not moving D. Gordon to the outfield. Robinson Cano is actually going to play first base, which means that Ryan Healy will not. Ryan Healy could end up with 30 home runs this season if they just leave him alone and play him, but I don't think they're going to. I think Robbie Cano, because they already have a DH in Nelson Cruz who can't play the outfield. So that's kind of interesting to me that Seattle would announce that already and say Robbie Cano is not going to be the regular second baseman. He might play occasionally. Gordon could play somewhat in the outfield, but in that wild card game, if Seattle even makes it, and right now the way Oakland's playing, Seattle ain't going to make it. They can't use Robbie Cano. He's ineligible. And he's available in a lot of leagues. And I thought about picking Robbie Cano up the other day, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. Like, he's probably not going to play every day. Clearly he wouldn't play against lefties. They would just play Healy. Anyway, that's for a future show. Do you have any thoughts on this? Because, you know, that happens in, like, 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, I think the thing with Cano is that they don't want to give him as much playing time because of the fact that he's not going to be eligible for the postseason. Not just looking towards the wild card game, but for that first series that comes after that, you know, you got to assume you're going to win the wild card game, or at least plan for that. So he'll play up until the final 2 weeks, but whenever that's 2 weeks, you got to get your lineup in order.
Hey, D. Gordon, can you steal some more bases? I don't know if anybody's going to steal 40 bases this year. Has that ever happened in a non-strike season where nobody stole even 40 bases? I mean, Trey Turner might not do it. I mean, he doesn't seem too anxious to do anything this recently. It's just amazing to me. Like, nobody's stealing bases. D. Gordon's getting on base at not a good clip, but enough that he could steal bases. And I watch Seattle games, and he doesn't even try to run. Anyway.
Hey, well, everyone's playing Earl Weaver baseball. Three-run homer. Play for the three-run homer, and don't worry about stealing bases. It's that 3-2 outcomes thing, and it's really... Whew. Does anyone know who Earl Weaver is anymore? Are we just old?
Speak for yourself. Junior writes, do you think the trade market will overcorrect for the recent tears, the fantasy trade market, I presume, of Matt Carpenter and Dallas Keuchel in your respective league formats? What type of starting pitcher do you think I could get for either in a one-for-one trade? All right, so that's an interesting question. Do you want to trade Matt Carpenter? Like, I don't think I want to. Keuchel, I can understand. Oh. I don't have any idea.
I don't want to trade him. Absolutely not. He's a top 50 player the rest of the way. So why would I want to trade that? I mean, I suppose if you're looking for getting a pitcher like, you know, Garrett Cole, Zach Greinke type, then sure. If that's what you need, but you know, it's high value.
Whenever someone says what type of pitcher or outfielder can I get in a trade, I have no idea what you can get. I'm in a league.
Yeah, it's not up to you. It's up to the other guy.
Exactly. I have leagues. Like, look, you and I tend to play in leagues with smart people that know what they're doing, but I have a league with people that don't. And I could float Matt Carpenter out there and probably get Zach Greinke. In a league with that, like in NL Labor, nobody's going to make a dumb trade. So, you know, I don't even try. But it's weird. Like, if you don't throw Matt Carpenter's name out there and see what somebody offers you, you have no idea what you could get. You could get a top 10 starting pitcher. You might not get anybody better than Luis Castillo. I don't know. That's why.
Much better to float a guy's name like Carpenter and say, hey, what will you give me for it? Than, you know, saying, hey, I've got a Drupal Cabrera. Can I have a top 10 pitcher? Like, don't insult people with offers like that. But see, don't be afraid to make a guy available and see what you can hook.
That's your second mention of Estrubel Cabrera in 5 minutes. I think you know something. I think he's getting traded.
He's going to Milwaukee. I'm telling you, if they will throw in one of their prospects at Double A, one of the two big ones, he is going with one of the pitchers. I don't know anything, but I feel.
He's probably getting traded for Brett Phillips, who'll be your new starting left fielder, something like that.
I'd rather take one of the middle infielders, but that's just
me. Of course you would. But they're not trading Keston Hiura. Why would they do that? That's dumb.
Well, you know, play for today.
Or take Orlando Arcia and see if you can get him to do what he did last year. Man, what a bad year for him. PJ says, I need help filling my catcher spot. Currently rolling with Austin Romine. Are any widely available catchers that you believe offer enough upside for me to jump for the stretch run? So I'm going to drop Gary Sanchez in my weekly, and I looked at the availables, and I wasn't happy. It was like Yan Gomes was out there of the most like available. Jerem Murphy, Mitch Garver of Minnesota. He had a big game yesterday with 5 RBI. I would stream this based on the schedule, based on whether on the forecaster that Tristan does expertly every week, and maybe it's you this week. It will be you this week because we don't know where Tristan is. He disappeared. I would look at the schedule. That's how I would do it. It might be Austin Romine. I don't know who the Yankees are playing next week. But I would look and see who everybody's playing. If somebody has a series at Coors Field, if John Hicks is playing at Coors Field, I would add him. You know, I mean, but in a general sense, like Yan Gomes is out. Let me see who's on the most added list.
A real interesting name to me, because I've actually added him in a league, but it's a little deeper league. Omar Narváez.
He only gets that interesting?
40 to 50 at bats a month, but he hits like 280. Like, at some point, it depends on how deep your catchers are. Because I assume if you're in a league where you're starting Romine, that you're maybe not scraping the super bottom of the barrel, but you're struggling. Like, I think that, like, basically, I guess the question could be, what is the league format in which a guy like Narváez, who doesn't start all the time, but when he doesn't hurt you, becomes a guy you'd rather start than streaming or going with, you know, someone who.
Yeah, I mean, in points leagues with Sanchez going on the DL, Yan Gomes actually moves up to number 10. So he is an exception there that I would probably pick him up. Other than him, I would probably do what you say, Eric, in points leagues and just play matchups and stream the position there. Narváez, it doesn't interest me for points leagues, but I can see if you're just looking for counting stats, and sure.
Top three got most added in ESPN one catcher leagues, Elias Diaz of Pittsburgh, Yan Gomes, and Jonathan Lucroy of Oakland, who's not hitting for any power at all, but hey, whatever. Who's this? Show Baseball. Can you rank these pitchers and let me know where the tier of this guy should be rostered ends? And you can probably mine better value by streaming the position than riding this guy on a start to save bases begins. That's a weird question. A lot of, weird question. Anyway, we're going to rank these four guys for you. David Price, Kyle Hendricks, Marcus Stroman, and Cole Hamels. And let me say this about Cole Hamels, because I wrote about him the other day. I write every day. I don't know if it's, you know, you can find it or if you want to read it. But I wrote about Cole Hamels because he's really interesting to me in that his home road splits are just unbelievable. He gets pounded every time he pitches at home. He's allowed 16 home runs and 10 starts. On the road, he's actually has one of the top 20 ERAs in baseball. So when he gets traded, supposedly to a contender, you know, whether it's Milwaukee, Washington, Philadelphia, it's a better situation. So I kind of like Cole Hamels once he gets dealt, if he gets dealt. But anyway, rank these four guys: Price, Hendricks, Stroman, Hamels.
I would put Hendricks as my number one on that list. Hamels two, and then Price. Why?
Price has actually pitched okay. Are you worried about injury? Are you worried about poundings? What are you worried about?
I get, like, part of it is that what you said about Cole not going to be pitching in Texas, perhaps, and that'll help him out. I mean, there's definitely a chance. I think Hendricks is a top three, whereas Hamels and Price are more 4 or 5 starters for your team, number 4 or 5 starters. And just given the fact that he'll have a change of scenery, and I would put him above Price, who tends to have blow-ups. You know, it's that fear of that one bad outing. And when we get to this point of the season, especially in head-to-head leagues, that fear of that one bad outing is going to really impact my personal decisions on the guy more so than a guy who, you know, may give you just the 6 innings, 3 earned runs, but you know he's not going to give you the 2 innings, 8 runs.
Hendricks over the past 2 months, 4.67 ERA, 1.43 WHIP, and 3 wins in 69 1/3 innings. Kyle Hendricks is not pitching well. Scares me. I think I'd have Price one here. Man, Stroman. Last outing was good. I think my rankings here would be Price first, Hendricks second, barely over Stroman, Hamels fourth. But if Hamels is moved, I might move him up. See, like if he's a Dodger, that'd be great. Pitching in that ballpark? Wow. He could have a huge final 2 months. Roberto, NL-only leaguer here. Curious as to which inexperienced starting pitcher you have your eye on for when rosters expand. Ugh. Nobody. Nobody. What? Why would you want to pick up a rookie for September when, A, you have no idea how he's going to be used, and, you know, we assume, like, the Cardinals, yes, they've had some luck this week with guys coming up for their first starts. Maybe Ranger Suarez is going to throw 6 no-hittings today. But in a general sense, I don't rely on rookie pitchers when they come up. Like, the Astros will probably promote Forrest Whitley. But I don't think he'll be in the rotation. I think he'll be a long man along with Colin McHugh. Who else could possibly? I guess Oakland could promote Jesus Luzardo if they're, and they should be in the race in September. But again, would he be a starter? And he's 20. Can you count on him? Can't even think of anybody.
That's the thing. That's the thing. You know, you might get a start out of him, but yeah, I mean, what you guys got? What this guy Cole Irvin? I've been hearing about. You're not going to start him.
In fantasy, yeah, I don't want to do that.
Our colleague, Tommy Ransel, in his prospect rankings for 2018, which you can find at ESPN.com fantasy, he has been very high on Dakota Hudson for a while. He's a Cardinals pitcher who, yes, they've been calling up random guys for spot starts. It seems like he's the one they're actually grooming to be a part of their rotation and or bullpen. So he's a guy that I could see getting called up and actually, you know, getting a start every 6th day and doing some Davinsky Bradley type stuff in the bullpen. So if you're in a deep NL only, I could see him being a guy. And then obviously the Braves have like 18 pitching prospects, and so it's just kind of a crapshoot as to which one actually is the one that gets called up and pitches when they expand rosters.
And one other name I'll give you here, and right now the Brewers are saying he's in the bullpen, but Corbin Burnes is legit. I would, if the Brewers say tomorrow, all right, Corbin Burnes is moving the rotation, I would treat him the way I would Walker Buehler, as a potential ace, as a guy I would use in fantasy. Buehler did not get lit the other day. That was yesterday. He ended up giving up runs, but he looked great through 4 innings. It was 1 home run to Hoskins, and then he basically hit Scott Kingery's bat for an opposite field home run. I'll give Kingery a little bit of credit, but, I mean, ultimately, that was just a bad placement on the pitch. And then someone else allowed all the runs on base to score. Walker Buehler is going to be a fantasy ace in time. I think Corbin Burnes, if the Brewers make him a starter, and that might depend on Jimmy Nelson's situation or if they trade for Jay Happ this weekend. But I added Burnes in a not new league for like $1, thinking even if he's just a reliever, he could be a really dominant multi-inning guy. But if he's a starter, I love him. That's a name. All right, what else? We have one more question here. I think this is for you, AJ. It's Eric writing it, but it's not me. Can AJ release his mascot rankings? Where does Mr. Redlegs land? Feels like a lock to be put ahead of Bernie Brewer, but I need confirmation. That might be a friend of yours. I'm not even sure. Do you have rankings for this? Are they points-based or traditional-based?
It's a two-catcher league.
It's a two-mascot league.
yeah. Geez. Well, you know, look, no one is ever going to supplant the Philly Fanatic.
Thank you.
And you know, spoiler alert, it's actually a guy in the suit. Tom's been doing this since 1994. He's 50 now, and he keeps telling me one more year, one more year. So, I mean, the guy is a legend. And Dave Raymond, obviously, is a friend of mine. I know Dave Raymond. He's a friend of mine. You're no Dave Raymond, Mr. Redlegs. I'll tell you that. You know, I like Orbit as my number two. I think Orbit's doing great things in Houston. So I would definitely put him as number two. Is Mr. Redlegs better than Bernie? Yeah, because Bernie Brewer really just does the stupid slide thing. And although he has to do it a lot, given the Eric Thames, Jesus Aguiar of it all recently, no, I'm with you. Mr. Redlegs, even though he's just a copycat of me, wow. Yeah, he's ahead of him.
How do you feel about Raymond Ray?
Raymond Ray, okay. Not great. Not bad. It's a good costume.
He does a lot of belly dancing.
Well, who doesn't?
We can talk about this off the air, Leo. There's some issues with race management.
I think people want to hear.
Raymond.
People want to know. Is he a PTPer, baby? Tell me about Raymond Ray.
He's a PTPer. He's performing in front of Dick Vitale, isn't he?
Yeah, I was going to say, Dickie V's probably seen as much of Raymond Ray's performances as anyone. He's
I think we can all agree that Wally, the Green Monster, and Rangers captain are among the worst.
Wow. And it really is hot in there, right, AJ?
Yes. Yes, it's hot in here.
Okay.
Yeah, he said in here because AJ is actually doing the podcast in a mascot outfit.
In his Mr. Med outfit. Yeah. Is that what he's doing? Yeah. According to Kyle, and I don't even know if I believe him anymore, Friday is National Talk in an Elevator Day. So if you go into an elevator, like, what do you say? Do you say to somebody, well, it really is hot in here? Do you say, hey, what do you think of Raymond Ray? Are you a big Hunter Pence fan? Like, what do you say in an elevator to somebody? Do you scare them?
You talk about the weather. That's always my go-to.
That's your go-to?
Yeah.
Saturday's National Water Park Day, apparently. Hopefully it doesn't rain. And Sunday, National Chicken Wing Day. But really, isn't every day National Chicken Wing Day? So
yes,
well,
and
you know, I'm all for it if it's Ted Gianulis's wing, but we can eat those.
I think that's time to stop. I think we've done all we can do on the Fantasy Focus Baseball for this week. Great thanks to AJ. You'll hear him again in like a week or two anyway, because we're all just taking off and writing football and doing other things. And AJ's an integral part of our team here, as is, of course, Leo and Anthony and Kyle, wherever he is. I am Eric. Please have a safe and awesome weekend. Everything is
awesome. I believe in a thing called love.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more great podcasts, log on to the iTunes Music Store or Pod Center at espnradio.com.